السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen, our receivers, the ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have recited, I do not intend going into any detailed discussion about zina. However, a hadith sharif comes to mind in which Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned certain things which are very, very relevant, especially in these times that we are passing through. I mentioned, I think, a few jumas ago, that hardly a day goes by when somebody does not mention intending to commit suicide, taking one's life, or the person indicates that he has lost all hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person has lost faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala because Allah Ta'ala is not listening to his du'as or her du'as. Although the person may be engaging in so much of different vices and evils and haram, but just having made two rakat salat, now the person expects acceptance of all the du'as. And yet I mentioned many times that look at Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, look at all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself. How many times their du'as were accepted? They were Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so how can there be non-acceptance of their du'a? But it took many, many years before they saw the fruits of those du'as. Allah ta'ala accepts the du'a, but when He deems it suitable and fit, in His wisdom, when it is the right time, then He blesses the person with the fruits of those du'as that the person had been making. So in this hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, "Inna min ashrati sa'ati an yurfa'a al-ilm wa yakthura al-jahl." That of the signs of Qiyamah it is that ilm and knowledge will be raised up. Ilm and knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise it up. And ignorance will become prevalent. Ignorance will become very, very prevalent in the societies. So straight away our minds will go onto the computers and all the other information explosion that we have nowadays. We will say that how can ilm and knowledge be raised up when there is so much of knowledge now that it wasn't even that much in the past. Everywhere you find nothing but knowledge. As I said, that even if you have to open one chappie's bubble gum, they say, "Did you know?" That means there's some kind of knowledge they want to give you there too. So it doesn't refer to that knowledge. It means to the noor of that knowledge, to the noor of ilm and nubuwat. Ilm and nubuwat is something else, and noor of nubuwat is something else. Ilm of nubuwat we are having plentiful now on the computers. Plenty. You have Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif. I mentioned in one Darul Ulum Jalsa. We have all these kitabs on the computers. We have Hidayah on the computer. We have different tafasir and different commentaries of the ahadith on the computers. We have so many books that are now on the computer. And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the sign of latter times is this, that ilm and knowledge will be raised up. So it means that there will be a lot of, and then he says it will be a lot of ignorance. So what it means is that the person is going to have all this knowledge, but he will be so confused because of all the different views and opinions that will be expressed sometimes by people who are really learned and scholars, and they will differ in their views, that is acceptable. But so many others who will be just picking up something from here, something from there, and then there will be arguments and fights and quarrels and disputes. And nobody will be really interested in practicing and acting upon that knowledge. It will be nothing but just to win debates and win points and score points. That is what is going to happen. The practice upon that ilm is not going to be there. How many of us, and around the world, if you have to look at the Muslim society, we are not talking about just some small grouping here and there. Look at it internationally, that the Muslim ummah at large, there is nothing but different opinions, arguments, fights, quarrels, disputes. As far as practice is concerned, on whatever little that the person practices, then he will be very, very strong and hard on others with regards to that particular issue. And all the rest of it will be nothing. Just take our country, for example, now. How much of pamphleteering, how much of different publications, and different emails and SMSs, and such a confusion is created in the society that the person does not know what to make amal on. So these are the times of fitnas where the person will have to make a choice. There is no other way out. People keep on asking, what do we do, what do we do? Well, what do we do? When there are differences of opinion among specialists, then what do we do? If one cardiologist says that, no, you must go for a bypass, and another one says that, no, you must not go for a bypass, we can have it treated, then what do we do at that time? We find out from the people that what is the experience of this cardiologist, how many people has he treated, how many people have gained shifa through his treatment with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, and how many people reach the qabristan through his treatment. We check on all that. Like that Hakim Saab's incident that I mentioned, that when he used to pass on qabristan, he used to blindfold himself. So they asked him, Hakim Saab, why do you blindfold yourself when you pass this qabristan in particular? He says, because I feel ashamed. Most of those people resting in this qabristan is due to my medication. So therefore, I feel ashamed. So just as we find out the expertise of the person before we accept anything, in the same way in deen also we have to find out. There are lawyers that are deferring, attorneys that are deferring, senior counsels are deferring, judges are deferring. Why do we even have constitutional court? We have this court, that court, high court, supreme court, all kinds of courts, and then we have a constitutional court. And they too differ on their opinions there. So when it comes to difference of opinion, we've got no problem. But when every person becomes a mufti, when every person begins to give his opinion on deen, when every person has got something to say with regards to the Quran and Sunnah, every person who has read some English book or some literature, now he wants to be a mufassir and a muhaddith. So then definitely that is going to be extremely dangerous. So at such a time, the same pattern has to be adopted, that we say confusion, confusion, indeed this confusion, what must we do? What we must do is that there has to be a choice that has to be made. And Allah Ta'ala has given everybody intelligence. When it comes to our business affairs and other matters, we use our intelligence. When a person is going to make a choice of the bride to be, then he's using his intelligence. He doesn't just go anywhere and just say anyone is acceptable. Why do we make a choice? Why do we find out? Why do the girl's side also make inquiries? That is this person a respectable person, reputable person, he's got good akhlaq, good character, or he is a dakharuka. Why do they find out? Why do they want to know whether he's on drugs or he's on this or that? So like that, when it comes to deen also, Allah Ta'ala has given us intelligence. Over a period of time, we know, we see who it is that we have got in our mind as a person who is reputable, who is honest, who is truthful, and who does not create fitnas. The person leads according to the Quran and Sunnah without any kind of extremism. So then we must make a choice, whichever mufti that we have in our mind as being qualified and good enough to direct us and guide us, then we have to accept that one. Because if there are cardiologists differing, we won't say everybody must treat me now. We'll choose one. So like that, we have to choose somebody and then make amal on that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now that's a different subject. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, That inna min ashrat saa, that is one of the signs of Qiyamah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given so many signs of Qiyamah coming. The hadith of Jibreel, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked what are the signs of that Qiyamah, many he mentioned there. Antale dalamatu rabbataha wa antara al-hufat al-urat ru'a ashaya tata'waluna fil bunyan. Awkama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Then one of the things that he has mentioned there, that those people, just giving you an explanation. By way of explanation, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that those people who at one time had no shoes on their feet, they didn't have clothes on their bodies, that means even they wore torn and tattered clothes, they were in the jungles or in the farms, or they did not have any kind of real wealth and property. They were poverty stricken. But suddenly they will start competing with others in the construction of huge and lofty buildings. Now go around Africa, go around Saudi Arabia, go around Middle East and go around all these other places and see what is happening. Did these people at one time have this wealth with them? Were their grandfathers also in that kind of wealth? All these huge, huge constructions. From where did it come? So many, many other signs have been mentioned. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that ignorance will become very, very widespread. People do not have knowledge of the basics of Islam, but they want to be mufassireen, muhaddithin. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and zina will become abundant, very, very rife. Wayaksural zina. Zina will become very, very rife. And before zina, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions about the drinking of alcohol. He says alcohol will be drunk abundantly. Wine, alcohol, brandy, whatever you can call it, all that there will be abundant drinking. Go to the Muslim countries, go to non-Muslim countries, go anywhere. So much of drinking, so much of drinking. In all the aeroplanes and everywhere, nothing but drink, drink and drink. Until the person really becomes drunk and he doesn't know what he is doing. Then if you extend the meaning, then intoxicants, substance abuse as they call it. How widespread it is that right from the top of the government to the bottom level, somewhere along the line somebody is deeply involved. Aeroplanes, ships, people in the immigration, people in the police force, people in the parliament, people in the cabinets, around the world. How many of them are involved in this whole drug business? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioning this at a time when it was not prevalent. To some extent, there a few people drank here and a few people drank there, or somebody committed zina here and somebody committed zina there. That was in all times, in all history it was. But the abundance that we have now, and all the things that are promoting zina, whichever direction you look, there's nothing but promotion of zina. All the books and all the literature that we have, that is being published from different quarters in the world, the radio, the television, the magazines, the periodicals and everything, there's nothing but promotion of zina. Either zina of the eyes or zina of the ears or zina of the tongues or the actual zina. Whatever kind of zina, but there's a promotion of zina. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning this at that time. In whichever direction, we deal with cases all the time and we get letters all the time from different parts of the world, different young people and old people and all men, women and now even little children. Shocking, shocking beyond belief what is happening. I'm telling you the truth. It's shocking beyond belief. Don't be fooled and don't be in a lullaby state. Without mentioning any name, I'm telling you the truth, truth and nothing but the truth. A mother got the shock of her life when she saw her young son, just 6 years old, trying to molest a 3-year-old girl. And where did this child pick it up from? He picked it up from another cousin of his, another 5-6-year-old child who says that he sleeps in the middle. The mother sleeps this side, father sleeps that side, is the only child. And late night the father is watching all the filth on the television screen there, the porn sites, and that little child picked it up from there. Who is going to answer on the day of Qiyamah for this child's deviation, and for this child's going on to that line, and for this child's growing up with that kind of mentality already, The child doesn't even know the ABC, but still already he's trying to implement what he has been seeing. And yet we say, nothing wrong, nothing wrong, Maulana, nothing wrong. We only watch the good things on TV, nothing else. A little bit of poison, what does it matter? We don't say that. A little bit of poison, what does it matter? Is it just a matchstick or just a small cigarette stump that is still burning? We say, what does it matter? The carpet is so many meters in extent, so if we just put a little bit of it on our carpet, what does it matter? Nobody says that. Here we are burning up our iman, we are burning up the character and the akhlaq of those children. But our nafs, the desire of our nafs is such that we just don't want to accept that these things can cause such kind of damage. Because we are enjoying it, so we're not concerned what is happening to our children. And then when they will grow up and they will boot the father and they will kick the mother and when they will swear and when they will become arrogant and very, very disobedient, at that time they say, Maulana, any kind of taweez that we got, children are very, very disobedient. Very arrogant. They don't want to listen. You got any kind of taweez. You can tie million taweezes on the ceilings of those homes. The home is already on fire. Those taweezes are not going to help. How can we even stomach a thing like this? And this is just one of those incidents that I have mentioned. I haven't mentioned the name. The person could be in this gathering. But the person himself was shocked. And how else would I know if he did not come and tell it to me? So let us not be taken for a ride. The media and everything else, the Western civilization. Tera ai nai roshni moh kala, andar se andhera hai bahar ujala. Hazrat Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi says, oh you Western civilization, and now it's no more Western, it's Western, Eastern, Northern, Southern, any kind of civilization. He said, what we see is nothing but glitter and glamour on the outside. But inside there's nothing but darkness. Outside we see beautiful lighting and beautiful shine and this mall and this huge building and that kind of computer technology and this type of communication and technology and everything, there's glitter and glamour all round. And there's nothing wrong. Allah Ta'ala has created the entire universe for the believers, as I said, to make use of it. So to make use of the technology, look at the type of technology that we have, how easy it is making everything for us. Supposed to be freeing us for the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this technology. Those days they had to spend so much of time in the very things that we take 1 second to make. Just a press button and our stoves are lit. Those things which would take so many hours to cook, our microwaves cook them in a few minutes. Now all these things were supposed to free us for the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for caring for the poor, the needy, the destitute, for helping the community in matters that are relevant and met. So for all these type of things we're supposed to have been freeing ourselves. There's nothing wrong with the technology, must not misunderstand me, make use of it. But when that same technology is made use of for these type of things, then this is the consequence of that. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, zina will become prevalent in the societies and it will become so common, so much in vogue. And I appeal to those people who, for some reason or the other, who have to read some newspaper or read some magazine or read some kind of a literature that is there for the purpose of business or for medical reasons or for other reasons. Then thereafter don't propagate that filth through your surgeries and through your offices and the businesses and through your homes and through other places. Destroy those things. What is the need to propagate that evil? Keep the good literature there which somebody can come in your home and read, somebody can come into your office and read, somebody can come into your surgery and read. Keep the good literature there. There's so much. There's so much of wildlife, there's so much on geographical issues, there's so much of scientific matters, there's so much of other things that you can have. Why keep all those kind of issues and why keep all those kind of literature which causes nothing but corruption? We are Muslims. What are we expecting the others to do if we are going to do the same thing that they do? All those filthy pictures are no more filthy in our sight anymore because we become immune. Lots of things a person becomes immune from. It doesn't affect him anymore. So in our sight, it's no more filthy anymore because we are seeing so much of it, we are reading so much of it. But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the angels, it is filthy. So are we going to accept what our heart says, or are we going to accept that which is the Quran and the Sunnah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, therefore, that there will be an increase, plentiful of increase. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the population of the male will decrease, وَيَقِلُّ الرِّجَالِ, and the population of the women folk will increase, and I will conclude on this. Again, there's a lot of explanation there. But we can see around the world that due to the wars and due to many other reasons, the population of the female is increasing, population of the male is decreasing. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that then the time will come when one person will have to take care, I'm just giving you an explanation, of 50 women. Now that doesn't mean that one person will have 50 wives. We're not advocating that. What it means is that there will be so much of responsibility that will be falling on that male person. He'll have to look after his daughters, he'll have to look after his mother, he'll have to look after his sisters, he'll have to look after his widowed aunt, and he'll have to look after this and that, and it'll just go on and on, that one person at times would have to take care of 50 people. Then we will say, now then how will they manage that, because the person's earnings is not going to be sufficient for the 50 people. They again now will have to come back to the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if that person has been burdened due to circumstances with the care of his wife and his mother and his mother-in-law and his sisters and his sister-in-laws and his aunts and his grandmother and everybody, then Allah Ta'ala, who is the provider of risk and sustenance, He is going to now increase the sustenance of that person. If that person is honest, truthful, and that person has got akhlaq and is following the Quran and Sunnah, Allah Ta'ala will increase his sustenance, by means of which he will be able to do that. But if he's going to become miserly and he'll say, but I was only supposed to look after my wife and my child, now where this burden of looking after my mother and my father and also looking after and caring for my widowed aunt and my widowed sister? So then Allah Ta'ala will narrow that person's sustenance, and that person will not be able to do it. These are things that are realities I'm talking about. That when the person is going to take care, Allah Ta'ala will increase his. That means he doesn't go out looking for it, but if it just happens circumstantial. So many became widowed, so many became divorced. Now the parents don't want to take care of them anymore. We get fathers saying that, how long are you going to remain unmarried? You are a burden on me, you should be paying rent and staying in the house. Now when a father is going to say that to his daughter, you think the daughter will have any kind of love for that father? What kind of a society are we living in? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq of amal. Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and problem and suffering of mankind around the globe, especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And as far as the new president of America, where so many Muslims are very, very excited, who does not know the kind of statements that he has already made and he is still making? There is no way that they can rule there without playing to the tune of Israel and worshipping Israel and worshipping the Jewish community. The Zionists have got their hands everywhere and their fingers everywhere. Now, how do you get votes? You must say, we will increase our military might and power in Afghanistan. In other words, destroy it. If it's not yet destroyed, we haven't thrown as much bombs already, then go further and finish them up altogether in all these places. And if I have to go into the detail, then we'll need a lot of time. But everybody with a little bit of knowledge of the politics of the world, they know that this is nothing to get really excited. What we have to do is turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and make dua, Allah ta'ala give them hidayat. Allah ta'ala bring them into Islam. And that is not a difficult thing for Allah ta'ala to do. If the Muslims did their homework properly, then we do not know how many people would have been Muslims in this country also. People who spent 26 years and 25 years with our ex-president, but they failed to give him Islam. What they gave him is that social, that the only system that works is the socialist system, the communist system, and all the other kind of systems that were in vogue at that time. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the hidayat and the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.